Good evening, happy Monday. Welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. We're going to try to make it a little bit better for you tonight. Tonight we have a show full of the hottest hot topics everyone's talking about. The question of the day we're asking, what's one red flag about yourself? Can you name what that is? And then it turns out that a recent poll came out by the New York Times that Biden's multiracial and multigenerational coalition is decaying. You know, it was important to him in 2020, but it's decaying. And they're even saying that 22% of the black voters are now going for Trump. We'll talk more about that. And then if you're an NBA, retired NBA, Joe Smith, his wife, he found out she was on OnlyFans a year after she created the account. They have a bunch of drama, but find out what she's saying about her body count. And then Lauryn Hill, she had some things to say about her being habitually tardy to her performances. Find out what people are saying in response to her comments. Then there's a mayor and a pastor in a conservative area who he ended his life after a local news organization outed him out as being transgender. Find out more about that. And then Airbnb. Now, I stay in Airbnb all the time. And you know they always have the cost of the cleaning fee. Well, this one family is complaining because not only did they pay the cleaning fee, but there was a list of chores that need to be completed before they were able to check out. Find out what Airbnb is saying about that. And then there's a female pastor who has some advice for women. What's it not to let their husbands know until after they get married? Much more and hot topics. Now, remind you, all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course, our official website, thestephennightshow.com. Also, check out our TikTok page. It's jumping now, y'all. When we come back, question of the day, hot topics right back after this.
Control with you, run with you, said I'm strong with you. I guess I lied about not running another song with you. Just get into it, I go through it. Saw us holding hands every day, but fuck it, screw it.
Give me the ocean, give me the ocean.
devotion from you. I know I do. Give me emotion. Give me the ocean. I need devotion from you. I know I do. I need devotion from you. I know I do.
Yeah, brass man, I have a spirit of fear. Lucy can't stop me.
I keep my top down. Living my head cause I can't wear the crown too low. Never gon' bow down. Everybody out there running games, so they pass on me. Dream like a op, bow. When I came up, they were whooping, but we still on a leash. People gon' talk down. They gon' in low, cause I still serve the most high. No, I won't stop now. When I throw signs up, it's not what they said, dog. Know that for H-Town. Roll with a warrant, try not to get caught, but I'm fly. Still put the top down. Love for the father, make kids for the fans, yeah. Can't switch on y'all. Only sinners walk with grace. Pack your bags, follow me home. Pray my seeds, turn out winners. Keeping that lead when I'm long gone. All of my fears can't hold me back. Let go of those who did me wrong. All of my fears won't hold me back. What don't kill me made me strong. Victory lap. We on attack. Ain't looking back. Rushing outside like I'm sleeping in a bando. Bible on me, I've been feeling like Rambo. Devil trying to hide, he ain't wearing no camo. Killing myself, got a ticket out the plan though. Still on fire for the Lord with a fan go. Heard them talking stupid, they cut it just like a Van Gogh. I'm seen the glad, let me cut the thing real low. I been looking up high when I feel low. And we still outside with the can folks. I was scraping both sides to the rim broke. I was walking through church with the trench coat. Sending my 10% through Venmo. Lord said he'd be back, hit a memo. That's a cross around my neck, not a crystal. There's a Bible on me, not a pistol. Don't even know what I've been through. Only sinners walk with grace. Pack your bags, follow me home. Pray my sins, turn out winners. Keeping that lead when I'm long gone. All of my fears can't hold me back. Let go of those who did me wrong. All of my fears won't hold me back. Cause what don't kill me made me strong. Victory lap.
Street Labs, you're on the air.
Yo, what do you feel when you hear a record like T-Dot's new one?
I love T-Dot's new record.
Right, but don't you feel like that's him creating tension, choosing to rock the boat? He's talking about white blessings, troubles with this nation, and not in those words. And he's talking about they want to silence him.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great one. We have a show full of the latest hot topics everyone is talking about. What would you rather watch? Go to our YouTube channel, the Stephen Knight Show. Please subscribe, comment, and like. We have our merch on our website, thestephenknightshow.com. We're also over on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, of course, our official website. I keep pushing that, but check it out. We have a lot of good stuff there. Want to remind you to register to vote. There's some very important elections coming up. Of course, we're less than a year till the presidential election next year. That's crazy. And then, of course, our prayers are still with the people of Israel and Palestine, people that are just in the mix of this war. It's sad to watch, but our thoughts and prayers are definitely with them. All right, what's going on, fam? How y'all feeling?
I guess it's Monday.
You know, believe it or not, I actually had a pretty good Monday. I was traveling yesterday. I was in Portland, Oregon, visiting my family. My sister We've been doing the last few years. My mother's birthday, you know, she passed away, but her birthday is November 5th. So we've been spending that weekend together. And so between daylight savings time and traveling, I didn't get in until super late, midnight, but I felt good when I woke up this morning. I felt good. I was productive today. It's just like, I don't know. I got a lot of sleep though on that flight. So maybe that was it. But did y'all do anything exciting over the weekend?
But real quick, Chike, you look kind of blurry.
What?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and say how your weekend was. I'm going to disappear and I'll come back.
All right. So my boyfriend has been, whenever he has his kids on the weekends, he tries to figure out what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We had went to the aquarium like a couple weeks ago in Woodbury, but this Saturday we went to Brooklyn.
Uh-oh.
And we went to the Brooklyn Library to
check for Jay-Z. Out
the Book of Hov exhibit at the Brooklyn Library, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Just to see how Jay-Z has completely elevated.
Yeah.
And just evolved over the years. And the fact that they recognized him, you know, that's where he's from. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you start from the rooter to the tutor.
Yeah.
You know, with his upbringing, you see a lot of videos in between. And it was some nostalgia for those of us of a certain age. Because, you know, they had some floppy disk in there. They had some other stuff in there. You're like, oh, they had a whole bunch of records, like the actual record.
right.
So it was a nice, you know, it was a nice exhibit. It fit. I mean, because the library is still open itself.
Right.
So it takes certain parts of the library and other parts of the library, you know, everybody doing their thing, but it was so crowded. But it was an amazing, an immersive experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To see that, and I felt it, like I really felt it as we were going through everything. I really, really hate taking pictures because I like to be in my moment and I don't want to miss anything.
Right.
So I have things, and you know, I took pictures and videos, I just haven't posted because I just really wanted to be in that moment. But right. It's over with December, I think 4th. December 4th. So 4th. If you have an opportunity to check it out, go check it out. And, you know, it's a great exhibit.
Yeah, I saw that they said that the membership has gone up 400% at that library. They could have paid to have people come. They could have people pay to see the exhibit, but it's free to the public. Mm-hmm. And Jay-Z, his team came to him and said the library wanted to do this. He had no clue what it looked like until he went to it, and he was mesmerized. He said he didn't expect, he thought it would be like a little small exhibit. He didn't expect it to be as massive as what it is.
Because that's where Gail did his interview.
Yeah.
So that was his first time seeing it.
Yeah.
When they did the interview for him, and it's just amazing how they did it. You know, they really, and like outside, they have, you know, you know, the lyrics, and then over the top, they have the Black Lives Matter letters over the top. So it's just, you know, it was just a mix of a mosh posh of everybody. It wasn't just specifically up. It was a mosh posh. Yeah. It was white people with their kids up and down. Like, this is easy.
Yeah.
So that in of itself. So that was an awesome experience.
Yeah, they said people coming from all over the world just to see that exhibit. And they extended it, like you said, to his birthday on December 4th. So I definitely want to check that out. I probably won't because I won't be into New York till late December, but whatever. But anyway, Chike, you do anything?
I checked out some of these movies for the Stephen Knight Show. What do you mean? I was working.
I can't wait to hear it. Well, listen, our question of the day is, what is one red flag about yourself? I'll start with you, Chike.
I don't even know where to start. I am the red flag. Right. The whole thing. This is the red flag.
Lania, do you have any red flags for yourself?
I think Chike can attest to this for me. I take shit personal. Because I'm an empath, I take shit personal. And I'm working on it. And not everything, but when it comes to dealing with people, you know, that I thought was one thing and it turned out they weren't, like, right. I take stuff real personal. So, yeah, that's a red flag for me, just taking stuff personal, because then it kind of makes you, you know, it puts you at an emotional guard when you take it personal. And that's what I'm working on. I'm not, you know, I have effing moments with other things, but, you know, with certain things, I take stuff personal.
Yeah. I think with me, I'm moody. I'm a Pisces, so I'm moody. And so, but it's not like that I'm like moody, like drastic, but people expect me to be on 10 all the time. And so when I'm kind of quiet and relaxing, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like, I'm like, I'm really just chilling. I've seen that happen. So, but yeah. Well, tweet us at home and let us know what's one red flag about yourself. All right. So the New York Times and Sinalat polls suggest that Biden's multiracial and multigenerational coalition, critical to success in 2020, is decaying. Voters under the age of 30 favor the president by only a single percentage point. His lead among Hispanic voters is down to single digits, and his advantage to urban areas is half of Trump's edge in rural regions. Excuse me. Black voters, a core Biden demographic, are now registered in 22% in these states for Trump, a level that the New York Times reported was unseen in presidential politics for Republican in modern times. The president's staunch support for Israel and current Middle East crisis has also prompted criticism from young and progressive voters. So what do you think on this, that Trump is getting 20% of the Black vote, according to this poll, and that he is up in some of these critical states? I'll start with you, Chike.
You was asking about red flags earlier. This is a damn red flag.
This is a red flag, yeah.
So I make no qualms about some of my political beliefs. I am not for dictatorship.
Right.
I'm not for losing of rights. I'm not for suppression of any kind. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whatever it is, how you feel about certain candidates, whether it be age, even though both of them are close in age.
Right, exactly.
You got to look at the merits. You got to look at what was done, what wasn't done. Compare the two terms. I'm not telling you to pick one over the other, but if you like a certain way of life and you want to live a certain way, you want to continue to have certain freedoms while you still have them, then you need to vote one way. If you want things to change and you want to be told what to do, where you can go and how you can get there or maybe not, then vote the other way. The choice is yours, but the way of life is on the line and it depends on who you vote for.
Yeah. And Lania, with these indictments, 91 indictments, you know, he had to testify today in the case to show that he inflated his wealth or his property so he could get better loans and different services. Why, for some reason, is this attracting more people to him, it seems?
I'm not going to say what I said to Jay earlier because we had this conversation. And the fact that you updated this after I printed out the first one. But we ain't going to go there, Steve. I don't want to... No, you know what? I am. Ignorance. Stupidity. More on top of more ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
There was one of those Fox people who had said Trump is attractive to Black people now because he's being treated like a Black person. He's being persecuted like a Black person.
Mm.
That is ignorant.
Yeah.
They are banking on your ignorance.
Yeah.
They are, and Jay said this earlier. You don't even know what the branches of the government are. So how can I even expect for those types of people to even understand the gravity of this situation? You only got a glimpse of it when that man was in office.
Right.
If he gets back in, we're beyond Pandora's box. We're beyond it. We're absolutely positively beyond it. And it's scary.
Yeah.
It's beyond scary. It's like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
It's Twilight Zone-ish.
You took the words right. I was about to do the music, but you took the words right out of my mouth. Because it's like, what do you do? Where do I go? How do I move? I don't know.
Right.
Because we know these people. Unfortunately, they're people that we know.
Yeah, exactly.
I know them, you know, intimately, but we know them. And then you gotta look at them I gotta look at you sideways, and I know I can't mess with you. If you think that what he is doing makes sense to you, any of it,
right?
It's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
What this man is doing, he's made a mockery of the presidency. He's trying to make a mockery of the judicial system by going up. It was a gag order that he didn't even adhere to.
Nope.
And then you go off on a tangent while you, and there's no respect anywhere. None. And it's just like, okay.
And the crazy thing is the people in his cabinet who served in his cabinet, a lot of them have come out with books or come out against him and saying that it's like having a kindergartner in the White House. He's unfit to serve. You know, they're telling, these are people that worked with him, that he appointed, that worked with him. And they're all saying it would be horrible for this country if he becomes president again. And all it does is just, you know, I watch these people on TikTok and I'm sure on other platforms, but they go to these rallies and they interview the people and they are just clueless. They don't even know why they support him. Like, he'll ask them questions. They don't even know the answers. You know what I mean? They just, something about him is infectious to them and they support this man. And I don't get it. I don't get it.
But you know what? Sometimes, Stephen, I think it's sheer ignorance because we live in the information world, right? And I do believe that certain things are being marketed to certain people for certain objectives.
Right.
I do get that and I understand that and I wholeheartedly believe it. However, in this information age, if you do not pick up a device and find out any information on your own independently from what someone has told you, then you are responsible.
Exactly.
We are now living in a country where in certain places, anybody can have a gun and you don't need to be on your property to use it. You can take it out. I'm going to the market. I'm going to the circus. I'm going to the carnival.
Yep.
I'm going to the library with a gun. Why do you do that? Why do you need that?
Right. And I read these comments online and some people are, you know, they're just so ignorant about all of it. Ignorant, ignorant, ignorant. So people, please do your research. Do your research. All right. So there's this ex-NBA player. His name is Joe Smith. And so he married a former adult film star, Keisha Chavis. And so, apparently she quit the industry. They've been married, living a good life. But apparently he found out that after a year, she's been on an OnlyFans page. She has her own OnlyFans account. He found out. And he confronted her. She records the conversation online. And she's saying that she was doing it to raise money for both of them. And she's only doing it. It's only herself in the video. She's not partnering with anybody else, collaborating, as they call it. And so as a result, he left her after that argument online. And so she's been doing some interviews because this has gone viral. Well, in a recent interview, she was talking about her personal body count. And she says that her body count is low. because she doesn't count the people she slept with while she was working. She only counts the people that she actually slept with romantically. So her count, body count is low. So Lania, you're a woman. What are your thoughts on this lady?
She full of shit. Point blank, period. She has unequivocally embarrassed this man, degraded this man.
Yes.
First of all, I'm a sports person. Joe Smith was in the NBA for 16 years. You ain't never heard nothing about Joe Smith because that's how he's kept his business.
Right.
That's how he's kept his business. This man played for 12 teams throughout his 16-year career in the NBA.
Right.
Now, he was married to someone else before her, and he has children with that person, mm-hmm. which those children should be older by now.
Right.
But when she came into this, I think he was segueing out of the NBA. And he may have already been out. They've been together for like 13 years.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
This broad said she created it. She didn't tell him. She created an OnlyFans page for him, and he didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she specifically said, oh, I got a video of us. If I wanted to put it up, I could just put it up. This man is going through something right now.
Right.
He's going through it. And his mental health is at stake. And this broad is out here completely dismantling
mm-hmm.
him in a way that a woman should not do to. If you claim you love your man. And if I don't know if y'all watch It Is What It Is with Cam and Mace, them mm-hmm. two fools.
Yeah.
She did an interview
with
Chick who was on that show and Cam. She was flirting so hard with Cameron.
Yeah.
Like, and Cam, I guarantee you, if Cam tried to get it, she would give it up.
That was the headline.
That point blank, period. Yeah. If you watch that, it was cringeworthy. Jay and I talked about this. Like, she is just completely just tearing this man down. He did an interview. You know, black men don't like to cry. And he was really trying to hold it together. But that man is broken.
Yeah.
And she's trying to put the nail in his coffin, talking about she want him to come home. Joe, don't go home. Don't go back to that bro.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go. And I know that is easier said than done because he loved her. He said, I love her, but I can't talk to her right now. I can't talk to her right now. She said, I'm being petty. I'm manipulative. Boo. First of all, she was a subpar porn star.
That's what they said. It's not that great.
She ain't on none of my list of my favorites. Let me make that clear. She was a subpar porn star, period.
Yeah.
Good evening. I'm sorry.
So she gave, some people argue, well, because she said to him, well, you knew what I was when you married me, or when we got together. Does she have a point, or?
Definitely. Absolutely. Abso-friggin-lutely. She has a point. And he should listen. Mama used to always have this saying, how you get them is how you lose them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. At what point do you take into consideration? And I'm all for women's lib. I like to believe that I'm a feminist. I like that my friend Lania, I support her in all her femininity and everything that she does. I believe in girl power and all that. However, once you become a union, you are together. I get the whole girl power and empowerment and, you know, being independent and having your own rights, but something as personal as sexuality within a marriage, I think you should have consulted your husband before you decided to do something like that. Even though porn was your background, you are now married to this man. You are not a porn artist anymore. And now you're making yourself an OnlyFans artist, but without his knowledge. To me, that's a breach on the union.
Yeah.
He has every right to be upset.
Absolutely.
And in a lot of cases, you know, she's lucky she came out of that unscathed. I'm just saying.
And that's it seems
everybody's not always there.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he was more upset that she was recording this argument that we're having. We're having the discussion, and mm-hmm. you're recording it online.
Because what it reeks to me is that she's looking for something else. She's trying to be relative.
Yeah.
She's trying to have clout. And she's using him to do it.
And the fact
it sounds like some other woman that's in the industry that's kind of sort of doing the same thing that may have wrote a book, but I don't know what she was trying to do. You know.
And I
hope this isn't trendy. I hope this isn't a thing that women are trying to do now. Please don't let this be a thing.
I feel like it is.
No, please don't. Lord Jesus, take the wheel. No.
I'm going to say this. When it first came out, Jay said to me, Vay, I guarantee you she's trying to get some reality type situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they in cahoots, but he was like, she got to be trying to get some reality type thing going. And I'm like, but Joe Smith not even relevant enough to have a storyline. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you never know.
Now he does. Now he is.
But he's in regards to what Steven said, Steven, he was like, you know, we've had our arguments.
Right.
She never pulled out no camera before. And I'm wondering why she pulling out a camera while she recording me. He's like, that's why she saw me walk out, because I didn't want to do or say something that would come back on me. And he was like, when I walked out that house and I left.
Yeah.
And he won't talk to her right. He will not talk to her right now. Yeah. He's like, I know at some point I gotta talk to her, but I'm not talking to her right now.
Yeah.
And he was like, if she would have had a conversation with me and we talked about it, you know what I mean? But for me to find out the way that I did, you my wife. I know what you used to do, but that should have been a conversation.
Right.
And all jokes, I said it to Jay. I said, Bae, you think I can do an OnlyFans? I just show my feet. Because, you know, people are there making money. He's like, no, somebody going to identify your feet and know it's you. Oh.
Exactly.
So I can't do OnlyFans.
No OnlyFans for you.
No.
Well, we know Lauryn Hill is notorious known for being late to her shows. Well, she's keeping all things all the way real. Her fans are dressed in her concert, her tardiness. Additionally, the singer is open about her touring. The world off of the debut and only album, Miss Education, Lauryn Hill. Now, according to the singer's official website, the 25th anniversary tour for her debut album is currently underway. TMZ reports that Hill's tour made a recent stop in Los Angeles on evening of Saturday, November 4th. Footage of the tour stop obtained by The Shade Room shows the 48-year-old singer speaking passionately to her fans about her tardiness from the concert stage. She said, they hate that she's late. She's late. Yo, y'all are lucky I make it on this stage every night. He'll explain that she doesn't perform a concert due to societal expectations, but rather her own duty to God. As the singer's impassioned speech continues, she recalled her debut album success. However, she explained that no one showed up to ask if she wanted to make another one. She said, so I went around the world and I played the same album over and over and over, because we're survivors, and we're not just the survivors, we're thrivers. So she got some backlash from this. People were applauding in the audience, but she got some backlash because it says when she's saying that you're lucky that I come on the stage every night, it's like, you're lucky they were buying the tickets to come see you perform, so you have a place to come on stage. And, you know, she's been known for coming 2-3 hours late to a show. People have to get childcare, they have to get, you know, different concessions. What are your thoughts on her remarks, Chike?
I'll be trying to avoid Lauryn Hill questions like the plague, man, because it gets me in trouble. I love Lauryn Hill's music. I love her as an artist. I think she is so friggin' dope. I say all that up front. However, the business of things, I cannot contend with. I don't like tardiness of any kind. Anyone that knows me knows I'm a very punctual person. And I know in the arts, things happen. And I know that one of her reasonings for showing up late sometimes is because, or not at all, sometimes is because the energy wasn't with her. I can't stand behind that. I'm an artist myself. I know plenty other artists, and that doesn't fly for a lot of people, especially when you've made a business out of your art. I could see you not wanting to put a canvas up in your living room and paint today because the energy wasn't with you. That's on your dime, nobody else's. But if people paid to come see you and give you that platform and to contribute to that name that you live off of, I think you owe them something. And you owe them what they paid for. That's just my thought on it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But and for that, I'm sorry. I will not ever buy a Lauryn Hill ticket because that's my expectation of her. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get. Mm. And I'm not a gambler.
Yeah. Linnea?
People do spend their money. And you expect for something to be on time. But I would like to say that I got something else from that speech. Something deeper. That I felt in the way she was, in the way that she was speaking, and not necessarily, you know, I get here when I get here. It's just been hard. It's hard for me to get here and stay here and remain here because it's been a fight. Because correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't she kind of blackballed a little bit at some point?
Yes.
So that's what I got from that speech. I don't think that she was saying F y'all so much, but more F the, you know, the powers that be. That's what I got from that because it was a lot of emotion in that.
It was. She was very emotional.
But you know, I wouldn't buy no ticket though, because I like to be on time for stuff. And after a certain time, we turn into pumpkins. We got to get home because we get sleepy.
Right,
ready to go.
Yeah.
So we won't be purchasing that, but love you, Lauryn.
We love Lauryn Hill. And the thing is, while I do agree, you could tell she was speaking not to the fans really about they're lucky, but things she's going on maybe in business behind the scenes. But when you show up to a concert late, you're supposed to apologize. You know what I mean? You're supposed to apologize. Well, you know, even I told you, y'all went to see Beyonce and she was late. It was kind of obvious why she was late because traffic was so bad. Cars were still coming in when she went to the stage. She didn't mention it, but she gave a great show. You know what I mean? She just got right to it when she opened the stage. But I think the thing with Lauryn Hill is she's known. You can almost guarantee she's going to be late to that show. You know what I mean? And so I guess there'll be fans that always show up, and there's some like, you know what? I got to go to bed. What time? You know, so.
I mean, it'll bother her if she start, you know, the people don't start filling them seats.
She'll come early then. The spirit will hit then.
Yep.
All right. Well, a mayor and pastor reportedly ended his life days after a conservative website published an article with photos of him allegedly wearing women's clothing and makeup. F.L. Copeland, the mayor of Smith Station and pastor of First Baptist Church in Phoenix City, died early February evening, as reported by AL.com. Lee County Sheriff Jay Jones said Copeland died around 5 p.m. after he was pulled over by police after a slow pursuit and used a handgun to end his life. They said he exited the vehicle, produced the handgun, and took his own life. His death occurred 2 days after 1819 News published an article with screenshots of Copeland's allegedly wearing women's clothing and makeup. On Wednesday, Copeland addressed the report and apologized to his church members for his private life being exposed to the public. He said, "The article is not who or what I am. I apologize for any embarrassment caused by my private and personal life that has become public. This will not cause my life to change. This will not waver my devotion to my family, serving my city, or serving my church. God will always protect you, take care of you. He will see you through any and absolutely everything." So he was elected in 2016 as mayor and reelected in 2020. He gained national attention for his response to a deadly tornado that killed 23 people in Lee County and toured with former President Donald Trump at the devastated areas. The 1819 News wrote in the article that Copeland allegedly had a secret life as a transgender woman under the name Brittany Blair Summerlin. The report also shows screenshots of hidden Reddit pages and private Instagram accounts. He reportedly also wrote fan fiction on various websites under a pseudonym. The outlet claims that he asked them to delete the article to protect his family and his job as a pastor. After the interview, Copeland promptly deleted the accounts and asked them not to be made public due to his family and position as pastor. Copeland initially denied having any knowledge of the accounts, but when it was made aware of his social media evidence, he quickly admitted to running the page. He also said that his wife was aware of his activity, but no one in the community, no one else in the community was. Copeland told 1819 News, dressing up as a woman had been a hobby since youth as relates to his anxiety, as a way of releasing anxiety. So here this man is, he cross-dresses in his time off. This article, this news outlet finds out about it, they write an article about it with evidence. He asked them, please don't post this because of my family and because of my church. They posted it anyway, and he ends his life. But it speaks also to, because, you know, this is a conservative man and the conservative community, you know, they're not, you know, they're very strict on certain things, but typically those are the people that are still doing it behind closed doors. You know what I mean? So, Linnea, what are your thoughts on this? Was the news publication wrong? Or is it their job to report the news?
So you play a very dangerous game with people's lives. Because there was also some things from my understanding that they published that they had to retract because there was no validity to some statements that they said he had made, and they couldn't find anything, so they had to retract that information. It is hypocritical. It's to do as I say, not as I do. And you can't do both. You can't be this pastor with a family, and then because you have anxiety, you choose to dress up as an alter ego, as a woman, but, you know, you're conservative, so you really don't, you know, support that. It doesn't make sense, but, I mean, I feel for his family.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when people dig into people's lives. See, you are going after that person, but you're not thinking about the domino effect that it has on the people in their lives and who that's going to affect.
Yeah.
So those are the people that I feel sorry for, because this, now he's left them. You started this train. Now he's left them to pick up all these pieces, courtesy of you wanting a scoop. Ba-da-bop.
Yeah. Chicken, what are your thoughts on this?
First of all, blessings to the family and the loved ones connected to this.
Yeah.
You know, it's from one of those towns, from one of them religions, you know, one of them states. And it's a shame in certain areas when they teach people about God, it's either over here or it's over here.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of the world we live in, you could tell by the color of our skin, we come in different hues. It's different textures, different colors. It's a rainbow of people. And there's a rainbow of people and how they are existing here on earth. So the fact that you had a pastor who was a transgender, who was also living in one of those states, in one of those towns in this country, you know, that's a story, right? He's a real human being. Where is the mercy? Where is the grace? Perhaps that man grew up stifled, but perhaps that's who he was his whole life. And he grew up stifled. because of the religion. He was caught. Have some sympathy. Have some grace. These are human beings. But, and I'm not going to hold you, the journalist and the writer inside of me, while you're telling me this story, is that is an awesome story, because it is. But that doesn't mean you need to make it a sensation, because people are connected to it. I say pick it apart in the sense of maybe getting education from it, maybe to teach you how to treat your fellow sister or fellow brother better, if we learn about how this goes down.
Yeah.
But stop judging people and making people spectacles.
It's almost one of those things like, you know, you think the news organization are doing their job or reporting the news, but look what can happen. You know what I mean?
But if you think about it, you think about that town, that religion, that state, that is news to them. That's right. What's important to them.
Exactly.
You can't have this. This is a sin against everything. This is what they're trying to do to us. This right here.
Well, especially if he's one of those conservatives that was voting, you know, voting against certain rights for different people and things like that.
My whole point. My whole point.
Yeah. That's a tragic story. Well, this next story I can relate to. So an Airbnb host in San Antonio, Texas, has gone viral after a recent guest highlighted the home's alleged checkout chore list and hefty cleaning fee. So a 32-year-old man who only wished to be identified as Brandon spoke with Newsweek for an interview published on Thursday, November 2nd. During the conversation, Brandon explained that he's a graduate student based in Houston, Texas. He, his wife, and two kids vacationed in San Antonio, October 13th through the 15th. The family chose to stay in Airbnb, and he said he did because it was cheaper to get a three-bedroom place over three hotel rooms. Well, the Airbnb costs also include a $165 cleaning fee, Newsweek confirmed. This only exacerbated the particularly irritating experience that Brandon and his family encountered when they were met with the chore list upon checkout. So the chore list that Brandon posted on Reddit required them to strip all white linen from beds, leave them on the bedroom floor, leave comforter on bed, start a load of all white towels with bleach, wash and put away all dishes and glasses, remove all food from refrigerator, remove all trash from the bedroom and kitchen, and replace bags. Place trash in brown bin in garage. Leave all floors the way you found them, clean and clutter free. Clean with a Swiffer if needed. Additionally, on the list, they want you to check for the left behind belongings and lock all windows and doors. Now, Brandon titled his Reddit post as Airbnb is getting out of hand. Then he shared his thoughts on the post. Now, again, he paid $150 cleaning fee and then was I'm asked to do this list on checkout. And Airbnb they reached out to Airbnb, and Airbnb said that they recently changed their policy this year to make sure that checkout list is posted on the ad so people see it prior to booking the room. But on the Q&A form on Airbnb website, it seems to suggest that adding a check-in and check-out instructions is optional. It's not required by the host. And they said usually they suggest things such as locking up, cleaning dirty dishes, taking out trash, and other similar requests. So Newsweek doesn't share whether Brandon expressed noticing the instructions before booking the room, but he did admit that they probably won't be allowed him to come back because they didn't do any of those chores when they were asked to. So, but this is the thing. I always find it weird because they do have the cleaning fee. That's the biggest thing you see on there outside of the, you know, your daily charge. But then they ask you to do all the work. So what am I paying for? Chicken, what are your thoughts on this?
First of all, you got to read the contract.
Right.
Got to read it. Read it. Because they'll slide in some stuff on you, especially what I've noticed in the particular location and what type of rental you're getting, what type, that contract changes a little bit. So yeah. You got to pay attention to the contract. But for the most part, I haven't had any crazy checkout situations. For the most part, it's pretty much that. And I do that even in a hotel. I just gather up any linens that are dirty and
yeah. They
go in one area, I'd semi kind of keep it clean anyway. So you don't really have to do much.
Yeah.
That's just normal.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at my Airbnb, my reviews, most of them say he's so clean. one of the night cleanest people. Mm-hmm. That's what it says on my thing. But what's this $165 cleaning fee? What does that cover if I'm having to do all this other stuff? Lydia, what are your thoughts on that?
So this is how I feel, right? I'm not an Airbnb person. I've tried it. The last experience was in South Carolina. Pictures were beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Me and Tiff got there. That looked like somebody's nana house deep down in the south, with just old, and it was all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And it was just not a comfortable situation. But Chike knows I have OCD, so certain things for me just kind of make sense. If you put food in the refrigerator, then you need to empty it. If you got garbage, you need to empty it. If you use them people dishes, you need to clean them. That just makes sense to me. If you use it, then you need to make sure that you cleaned up after yourself. I may be taking the linens off, but like Chica said, if I'm in a hotel, which I'm 4 stars or better, I'm going to a hotel. Once I get ready to leave, I'm stripping everything down. I done checked my room like 25 times to make sure I ain't forget nothing. I'm checking under the bed. I'm checking behind the bed. Right. I'm checking everything to make sure I haven't forgotten anything. So, I mean, I know that, you know, the fees are becoming ridiculous with people charging different fees for just, you know, but that's the chance that you take. At least you know what you're getting with a hotel. You don't know what you get with an Airbnb.
Very true.
You know what I mean? So you take that chance. And like Chike says, you know, what we don't do, people don't be reading.
Exactly.
I'll just be signing and don't be reading.
Yeah.
They get caught with that fine print.
That's true. Well, our last story. So a female pastor warns women, do not wear your natural hair when you're trying to find a husband. She says, show him that after you've entered the marriage, because he can't do anything about it.
Oh, wow.
So Lanier, this pastor, she's an African pastor. She says, do not show your natural hair. She says, wait until after you married him, you know, secured the bag, then show him. Because he can't do anything about it after that. What are your thoughts?
I need y'all not to listen to these people. I need y'all not to, especially, you know, a lot of Africans, they use bleach whitening on their skin. They do the, you know, the whole European thing. And then if you've ever seen the before a wedding, and then once that makeup is done, it's a completely different person.
Yeah.
Don't listen to these. Let me tell you something. This wig coming off at some point, you're going to see this head. You're going to see all of the lashes, none of that. The best thing my man said to me last week, while I'm in my natural state, just in the kitchen cooking, he said, this is the way that I love you. This is when you are your most authentic self.
Yeah.
No glitz, no glam, no nothing, no wig. Chike, no. I used to have to switch my wigs up when I was single. And he caught on to and he caught on. I was like, wait a minute. What you been doing with your wig? Mind your business. But yeah, don't listen to this heifer. Please don't listen to her. Don't do that to yourself. Is she married?
I hope she is. She giving this advice. But that goes.
That wig would like look like somebody from Planet of the Apes is sitting on her head. But okay.
But what this is actually a big conversation, Chike. So should you show your partner your flaws before you get married? Or your natural state before you
listen. First of all, homegirl's giving out this advice. What happens when the man say, take that wig off? Before you're not getting this ring until you take that wig off. Because some men will do that. Some men, listen, ladies, I'm going to just tell you straight up. Your average man, the average, likes natural hair. Mm-hmm. Your average man likes natural hair. All that extra stuff that you're doing, you're doing it for yourself. You really are. It gets in the way. It's a bother. We don't need to see it. We don't want to be bothered with it. So when we see you with it off, the sooner the better. The sooner the better. No surprises. Just saying. With that being said, Stephen, I'm sorry. With that being said, there was a meme that I saw, and this man married this woman, and she said in the video, I think Lenny, I think you saw this too. She said, "No more, no fellatio," and he had already married her.
Yeah,
and he was like, "My wife will be." He didn't use that word, but he said she will be. And she was like, "Oh no, I'm not." And he was like, "I want a divorce." And he was dead serious.
So it started like, we're not off. Getting married. He's like, "We're not getting married."
Oh, yeah, we're not getting married. Sorry. Because she made that a contingency. "Oh, I'm not doing that." And he was like, "We're not getting married."
Has she already been doing it?
No, no, no. She was saying that she wasn't going to, that wasn't something that she was going to do once she got married. And he was like, "Oh, my wife will." And she was like, "Well, I'm not." And he was like, "Wedding's off."
Nope.
In front of the family and everything. Y'all can play around with these wigs if y'all want to. Y'all can play around.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna be husbandless.
There was a video on Instagram, it was a while ago, and the girl was, you know, they were at the thing and the husband saw her. He's like, "She gotta take this makeup off. We not going," and he's literally wiping the makeup off while they're at the altar.
Oh, wow.
He's wiping the makeup off. Like, at some point, how do you present? You know, people, they bring in their representatives in the beginning. So when you gonna change that up?
So wait, I'm sorry. Just that moment that you just said, Linnea, it hit me as something. You think about it like this. You have these two people at the altar, right? Men don't wear makeup. You're always getting our genuine face regardless. Yeah. You're seeing us for who we are, right? Women can do makeup in a variant different ways to look different, look slimmer, look chunkier, more contoured. You can do different things and you can look like a totally different person. This man is standing before whoever he finds the creator to be to promise his life to this person. And he's looking at somebody that he can't recognize. That would mess with me spiritually.
Yeah.
Dad, take all that off. I need to see who you are. I need to see your spirit before I decide to get married. So, ladies, stop telling lies. Stop lying.
Entering conversation. Well, listen, Linnea, thank you as always for Hot Topics. Cheeky, I'll see you in movie reviews when we come back. Movie reviews right back after this.
We're all alone. Nobody knows.
It's a little secret. That's how we should keep it. Maybe we've been creeping on the low.
No time to waste. It's getting late.
Catch up off the deep end. We're supposed to be here.
But it feels so.
Doing your thing.
And it feels so
when you love me like that.
on top of me.
On top of me.
On top of me.
What's up? This is Daryl.
It's Rhea.
It's Paco.
It's Aja, and we're the Walls Group, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how's it going in DC? How's the weather?
It is good in DC. The weather is in the 60s. And then, of course, as you know, this weekend I was in Atlanta, so I got to enjoy that nice 70 degree weather. So it was a good weekend overall. How about you?
It was good. I was in Portland, but I was in rainy Portland, which is always rains. It was funny because I asked Alexa what was the temperature. You know, I was about to pack. Expect rain. I already knew it. Of course, my sister and my brother-in-law say it was beautiful yesterday, though. Sun was up. Yeah, well, it was raining now, but I expected it.
You brought the rain. And TK, Philly was good?
Philly was good. Weather was okay. Typical fall weather. Nothing special.
Yep.
I actually like it like this, though.
Yeah, I like it like this. I just like the rain. But, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'll let y'all take it away with movie reviews.
Sure thing. So I was traveling this past weekend, but I did catch up on some a couple of shows and then a movie release that came out earlier this year. And I'm going to start with that one because Chike reviewed it actually earlier this year as well. And it's Renfield. And you can see that on Amazon Prime right now. But this is the story about Renfield, who's Dracula's familiar servant. And it's the modern day. And he's learning how to kind of break off of this relationship he's had with Dracula for centuries. And Nicholas Hoult plays Renfield, Nicholas Cage plays Dracula. And as Chike said, you know, this is a fun one. I know Chike's not normally a Nick Cage fan, but yeah, this one, you know, I checked it out because I know Chike, you mentioned you liked it. So I decided to give it a shot and I did enjoy it. I will say the action scenes, and maybe this is part of it, was a little silly, over the top. The fake blood looked really fake. Like, I felt like,
yes.
I don't mind them overdoing it, but you could tell it was all CGI blood for the most part. So I was hoping for, you know, a little bit more than that. But yeah, I liked it. It's a good length. It's, I think it's like an hour and a half. So it's a good, easy airplane watch, as I did, to get through with it. And another fun thing is actually one of the characters, a criminal named Doug in the movie, early on that Renfield approaches, he is actually someone I did a web series with, like small time 15 years ago when we were both just kind of doing like little independent short things in Atlanta. So that was fun to see. I saw him on the screen. I was like, oh, is that Keith? And it was. And so it's always nice to see kind of old friends or people you worked with from so long ago kind of getting in these movies. So yeah, fun stuff if you're a fan. I like what Nicolas Cage did in this. I think him and Nicholas Hoult had good kind of back and forth, and they had a good kind of on-screen chemistry. So definitely check it out if you're into that kind of stuff. The next thing I saw and I started is Good Omens Season 2. And this has been out for a little while as well, but Season 1 came out earlier. I think it was one of those pandemic shows, but it's a Neil Gaiman property, and it stars David Tennant and Michael Sheen as a devil and an angel who, in season one, they're stopping the Armageddon because they live on Earth, they live a comfortable life, and they don't want the Earth to end. Season two kind of picks up from there. Now that the Armageddon has been stopped, they are back and there's a new issue. And this time, this season kicks off with the Archangel Gabriel coming down, and he doesn't have any memory of why he's there and what's going on. So they're working together to kind of figure that out. But the great thing about this show, just kind of like I mentioned in Renfield, Michael Sheen and David Tennant do a great job. They are one of those like on-screen characters that both the actors really play well off of each other. They really have a good time. You can tell that these are characters that knew each other for, you know, according to the show, you know, millennia and stuff like that. So it shines, you know. They keep up that pacing of season one. They keep up the fun, quirky characters. They keep up the kind of score and the setting and how things move along. So if you were a fan of season one, or if you're just a fan of those two actors, definitely check this one out as well. It's another Amazon Prime actually feature. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm planning to finish it soon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then finally, this is the newest release, and this is a Netflix miniseries called All the Light We Cannot See. And this series was developed by the other Stephen Knight, this British writer and producer who's done a few things. And it is,
I've seen him too when I Googled myself. I'm like, who is this man?
Yeah, who is the other Stephen Knight? Yeah, I was confused too when I saw that.
I know.
But so I've only seen one episode so far. It's really good. It's based off a novel. It's a war story. Takes place in World War II. There's a, you know, it's This is the city in France, and it's being bombed by the Americans, and there's a German soldier and a blind French girl, and their lives are going to kind of get interwoven into what's happening in the city during this time period. Since it's a limited series, there's only 4 episodes, so we'll actually get resolution pretty quickly on here. But so far, it's so good. You know, this has been, I think, there's been a lot of hype about it. I think the novel was really popular, and Netflix does a good job with a lot of their dramas. So they've done a good job with the setting of this. I will say, if you've seen enough World War II shows or movies to call it a day, you probably don't want to watch this, because it is definitely, you're set in World War II. You have the Nazis, you have bombings. Again, you have kind of that human suffering aspect to it. But if you like a good story, this one it's been doing a good job so far. And again, it's all out, so you want to watch it all, just binge it one night, then you can do so.
Good. Real quick, Adam, I want to speak to, you said you saw your friend in the film. Mm-hmm. Isn't it like a good warm feeling? Doesn't it feel like a win for yourself too when you see like your people doing something that you know that they, you know, it's part of their dream? I love that part.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was cool because, yeah, you know, you do stuff with people and you don't see them for a long time and you don't think much mm-hmm. about it, but then you see them and you're like, oh, that's good. They're following their dream and they're following what they want to do. And, you know, when they are in a big major movie like this, it's cool to see that.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So I told you guys that I was going to check out Lawman Bass Reeves on Paramount. They just started that 2 episodes in, starring and produced by David Ayolowo and Lauren E. Banks, and stars Moses Briggs and Plenty. This is one of those stories of legend. Like, if anyone saw Watchmen and you saw the opening scenario in Watchmen mm-hmm. with the little boy looking at the cowboy movie, that was about Bass Reeves. Bass Reeves is the reason that we have a Lone Ranger story, because that's what Lone Ranger was based off of. And also stars Dennis Quaid and Donald Sutherland. I'm sure those two were put in for the star power. So far off to a great start. But my question is, for some people to think about, Mr. David is an African actor who has been hired to play an American hero who is an African American in the states of that are united, which is us. There's been big controversy about African actors coming over, taking African American roles. And I want to just, the listeners, you don't have to do it now, but just hit me up online. Talk to me a little bit about what are your thoughts about that? And how do you feel about African actors coming over, taking over what is now considered African American roles? I would like to know what you think about that. But check out the series, because it's awesome and it's good. He did a good job. And by the way, if you guys didn't know,
I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, that sounds like a fake controversy.
No, it like, is a fake.
No, I know. Sorry. I should say that sounds like a controversy people are saying just so they can get attention.
Mm. Good point.
Yeah, because people come from all over the world to come here and star in movies.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear the argument, though. I want to hear it out. I want to see it written out. Leave it in the comments.
I agree.
And if you guys didn't know, this is considered a spinoff to the Yellowstone family. So stay with the storyline, because at some point, I guess it's going to lead into one of the other stories. The next film I saw was called Blood. It stars Michelle Monaghan and Skeech Ulrich. And it's about a separated mother who's trying to regain her reputation as a good mother after a separation from her husband. And she moves into her childhood family home to separate and start a new life with her kids. And then there's a tragedy that happens with the family dog. And I will tell you this. This is a vampire story, but it's unlike any other vampire story that you've saw before. I found it to be very good. in the sense that it wasn't dead on like most vampire stories, and the origin is yet to be told. This seems more like a second or third stage story, and maybe two prequels would have to come. I'm giving this a thumbs up simply because it's a piece of art that makes me think, and it makes me question, and it makes me wonder. That's why I like to watch movies. I'm in it for the storyline. If you can get me on the hook wanting more at the end of it, you're going to get a thumbs up from me. I'm not one of those people that need to be have things laid out and I need to know where everything is. Leave me wanting more, or possibly even creating my own story on the tail end of it. I don't know. I just love open endings. So definitely check it out. It's called Hulu. It's on Hulu. It's called Blood. Next thing on Hulu, it's a brand new series I'm very excited about. It's Charmaine Wilkinson's novel, Black Cake. It stars Mia Isaac, Chipo Chung, Adrian Warren, Bashy, and the award-winning Glenn Thurman. This is a story about a deceased mother telling her children her life story, her true life story, over a zip drive at the reading of her will. Apparently, this mother had been living a fake of life, and she wants to confess after her death to her children, and they're finding out the truth of their true heritage. Already, I think I'm, what, three episodes in? This story is already super rich. Like, it's layered. It's so many storylines, so many twists. It's just, and it plays like a very thick, decadent novel. Please check it out, Black Cake. There's some narration in this film. You could not tell me that it was not the Angela Bassett doing the narrating, but I had to look it up because I loved her voice and I loved her delivery. It's not Angela Bassett. It's actually two different women. One is Lynette Freeman and the other one is Simone McIntyre. Shout out to the voices, ladies. I love it. Definitely check it out. It's on Hulu. Gen V season finale was awesome. Invincible just started back up. I love that. The Morning Show, Steven, The Morning Show, The Morning Show, The Morning Show.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I had to, like, I was eating in the middle of, because that's one of my favorite things to do when I watch that show. I like to eat my dinner and watch it at the same time. It's nothing like that show in a glass of wine. But I had to stop sipping and I had to put everything down to pay attention because this was one of those doozy episodes.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What do you think about Reese Witherspoon's character and the breakup?
I thought that, so I'm jumping out of the show itself and onto the creation of the show. I thought that it was a nice way for writers to give an homage to journalists and the integrity of journalists and where they stand in life and where they should stand in life, as opposed to some of the stuff that we really have going on, where journalists are in bed with some of the stuff that's going on. I actually clapped because how many times do you get to see someone stand on their principles like that? And you clearly know that they're standing on their principles only because we were privy to the backstory. If you don't know what we're talking about, please check out The Morning Show. And you know, some people poo-poo on us. They say we're not journalists because we're doing podcasts and we're online. We're giving you information in some situations that you may not have. So therefore, if we're being a town crier of some form, way, or fashion, we are journalists. We are the media for what it is that you're listening to.
Reporting the news.
That's right. So with that, I found that to be very powerful in the sense that it showed that integrity and, you know, why she was willing to throw away that relationship for the sake of what's right or what's not right from her perspective.
Right. What about Corey towards the end when they're coming for him?
Listen, when you put a cage, well, I don't say a cage, but if you corner a bull, Corey is a tyrant. He's a mess. And so the worst thing I think could have happened was for someone to give him a thumbs up. You would have to have attacked Corey and blindsided him in order to get him. But now that he sees that they're coming, there's going to be hell to pay. Because he knows where the bodies are buried everywhere. He knows where the bodies are buried.
Right. Yeah. And the last thing I'll ask you about, what do we think about Jennifer Aniston's character, her making her next move?
I think she's going to find out how hard it really is.
Yeah.
And because what she is a dynamic journalist, and I think that she has that down pat, but once she sees how it crosses and the lines that she's going to have to blur in order to stay in business, one, but she's going to have to compromise her integrity at some point.
Yeah.
And she's not going to like it.
No, she's not. It's so good. So good, Adam. You're sleeping on it. You're sleeping on it.
Yeah, I feel like this is like, we should be, y'all getting paid by Apple to promote this show.
I'm telling you, it's good. And you
holler at me, Apple. Holler at me.
Morning show, more like boring show.
I told you I usually watch it on Fridays because I was traveling this Friday. I watched it the day it came out, Tuesday. And I was like, oh, I wish this was Friday. But anyway.
I want to hear the 17 Christmas movies that have already come out that you've watched, Stephen. Because
I have not started yet.
They have been pushing it already.
No, it's funny. So I got to my sister's house on Friday, and I was like, this can't be our house because Christmas lights everywhere. So I had to pull out my phone to confirm the address. And I said to her, I said, y'all won't play it, worry. I said, Brian Carey said, it's time. Y'all took it seriously.
Yeah. Day after Halloween.
Said, they have a company who decorates the outside. And they were booked, so they had to do it then. She said, that's why. I said, why are you turning them on then?
Crazy.
Well, anything coming out of the pipeline for you
all? The next week is the big Marvel movie, Marvels. So I think I'll give that a shot. I like Captain Marvel. I haven't seen Ms. Marvel. I hope. I don't need to, but I'll try to watch it if I can to catch up on it. But, you know, these Marvel movies, I know this new kind of whatever they're calling it, generation or season or release has been mostly weak besides Guardians of the Galaxy. So I don't think I'll be rushing. But again, I like Captain Marvel. So it'll be fun to kind of switch it up from all the dramas that I've been watching.
Yeah.
I'm interested, but not interested because I follow the comics, and I'm one of those people that are old school and stuck to my old ways. I know Ms. Marvel's storyline, and I'm not just liking in the different directions in which it's going. I'm sure it's entertaining. And for the big storyline, yes, I'm going to check it out, but I'm not like happily running to the movies wanting to see it.
Yeah.
What I'm more eager to see, more than that, which is coming on Netflix, is The Killer.
Yes.
I want to see that really bad.
David
like
Fincher.
Really, really bad. Michael Fassbender is like an alien when it comes to acting. And any role that he grasps, he fully immerses himself into it. I want to see that.
Yeah. That's the top of my list. And one more thing I'll add for Netflix, if you haven't yet, probably still one of the best, maybe the best movie of the year so far, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is on Netflix. Check it out, yeah. Steven, if you haven't seen it. I know you're not a big on animated features, but... yeah, it's just so good.
It is. And let me tell you this, I'm not going to hold you. There were some parts in that movie that got to my gut, made me thinking I might want to cry, but I was like, I'm a grown behind man. This cartoon is not going to get me teared up. But they touch on some serious points. They get you.
Yes, they get you on a lot of aspects. So anyone who hasn't seen it yet, you got Netflix. There's no excuse now. Watch it. You'll love it. It is a long movie, but it's one of those movies that you don't even feel the length. You're really invested the whole time.
We'll see. I always feel the length. Long movies. You know, they were talking about how long movies have gotten over, you know, over the years, and how they've talked about making an intermission in between the movies at the theaters.
Yeah. Well, I heard some theaters were getting in trouble because they were doing intermissions for Killers of the Flower Moon, and the studio who made that movie said they can't do that. They're like, no, you're not supposed to pause our movie for intermission. You're gonna 3.5 hours, and I don't know. I agree with the theaters, too long.
Yeah, I had my nephew set up for me to watch something on Netflix. I think it was Friday night, Saturday, one of them, because I couldn't figure out the TV. Waste of time, because 5 minutes in, I was knocked out.
Well, you know, because I'm a little older than you guys, maybe about a month or two older than you guys. I remember going to the drive-in and it being like a double feature. Like there was automatically an intermission built in to give you time to, you know, and then movies weren't that long back then. Yeah. They were like maybe 80 minutes at the most. You do 80 minutes, 90 minutes, that's all I need. And you come back and do another 80 minutes, you know?
Yeah, those were nice.
Well, guys, as always, thank you for letting us know to spend our time, money, or whatnot. Also, Big Brother, the finale is this week, so find out who wins. Nice. And down to the top three. So, anyway, guys, thank you as always. See you next week, and we'll be right back after this.
Somewhere feels like everybody's watching you, and every little thing you do, every little way you move, something's not right. Could it be that I didn't fix my hair? Why would they even care about mine? I don't know why they keep looking my way. What could it be? Why they staring at me? I wish they'd turn away. Maybe it's 'cause you're nice. Maybe it's 'cause you're beautiful. Maybe they're just too shy to let you know. It's 'cause you're glad. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Take a look at your reflection, and don't worry about perfection. Love who's in the mirror and then hold her. You should know why they keep looking your way, and why they choose you again and again, and cannot turn away.
Love.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to go into our new segment, HBCU Money, with the wonderful William A. Foster. Will, what do you have for us this week?
Thank you again, Stephen, and great to be back as always. Today's Absolutely. Statistics come from an HBCU Money article entitled Five Ways Black Men Can Invest in Black Boys. Now, these are primarily social statistics that have immense economic consequences and impact on the African-American community. 2019 National Assessment of Education Progress highlighted that only 6% of 12th grade Black males were reading at the proficient level, and only 1% were reading at the advanced level. In 2021, 76% of Black boys finished high school compared to 93% of their Asian counterparts. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, of African-American men in college, only 36% were finishing college within 6 years, compared to 52% of their Latino male counterparts and 63% of their white male counterparts. And this one is really impactful and really should sit with a lot of us. The U.S. Census reports that African-American boys 17 and under comprise over 40% of the African-American males in poverty. And lastly, wow. Of the 12.3 million African-American men over the age of 25, roughly 50% have only a high school diploma or less.
Wow. You know, it's interesting about this because there was this teacher who recently went viral saying that everyone's blaming literacy, lack of literacy in Black communities on COVID, you know, the pandemic, but they said this was happening way before that. So it's interesting, you read out these statistics, you start back from 2018, 2019, you know, this is pre-COVID. What do you think we can do to combat this?
So two of the recommendations that we have in the piece, one is African-American men investing in supplemental education for Black boys. Now, what does supplemental education mean? It is anything that is happening outside of the classroom. And that means paying for private tutors if they can for Black boys, especially in those core areas like math, science, English, history. It also means paying for or helping families fund trips to the museums for enrichment. Yeah. Academic camps during the summer. A lot of HBCUs offer summer camps. A lot of Black boys and their families don't have access for the funds to pay for them. One of the other big things that Black men can do to help Black boys is help pay for therapy. Black boys often need access to mental health therapy early and often, and families who are not able to get that or provide that for them obviously has consequences. The other major thing that in writing this piece and putting this together was there are not many Black organizations dedicated to Black boys. There's a ton dedicated to Black girls. There are even organizations that have Black boys as a side objective, but there are very few actual nonprofits that are dedicated to the enrichment of Black boys. And I think Black men and the community as a whole, it would behoove a lot of us to look at how do we get more organizations developing for the enrichment and development of Black boys beyond obviously sports and entertainment.
Absolutely, because it's interesting. A lot of, you know, it is going to sports, going to being an artist, a music artist or some type of sort, as opposed to education literacy, where it's important. Very important information. Where can they keep up with everything HBCU money related and all the articles and information? What's the best way?
As always, you can find us on hbcumoney.com. You can find us on X, Twitter, at HBCUmoney. We're on Threads at HBCUmoney. Those are the primary platforms of which we currently are operating.
All right. William Foster, we appreciate you always. We'll be right back after this.
Every woman wants to feel like a woman. She wants to feel her inner champion. She wants to feel her worth. Every woman, every woman's born with a nurturing hand, always thinking of a master plan to build someone else up. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. A woman, a woman. Every woman, is living with a sixth sense. She's not common, she's got a special lens. Her intuition is razor sharp. Every sister, every sister wants to stand strong, so you can have someone you can lean on, help you carry on, help you hold on in good times and in bad. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. It's the soul of a woman. A woman. A woman. There's no mountain she can't climb. No. She's ascending as we speak. It's just a matter of time. There's no problem she can't solve. She's got a strength, a level head, self-respect most of all. It's the soul of a woman.
Hi, this is Miss Robbie from Welcome to Sweetie Pies, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. It's called Lyft. LIFT, not the driving service or rideshare service, but it's a revolutionary plant-derived cleaning formulation. It provides superior cleaning power without causing skin irritation or damaging to surfaces. It contains no harmful chemicals such as, don't get me to name these things, but no harmful chemicals. It's been successfully used for sample maintenance, which remove persistent grime, grease, and various stains. So check them out. Again, it's Lyft. There's a link in the bio of this video. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
As long as on me, everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand, head to the floor, and we gon' dance. And when we get there, best believe we're gonna do a two-step. Ain't no drama in here, so don't stress. Step to the right, then side to the left.